Time for our weekly chat with the head coach of the University of South Dakota football team, Bob Nielsen, and his Coyotes are 3-6 with three games remaining in the regular season. All of the outdoor games are out of the way. Youngstown State comes into the Dakota Dome on Saturday, and the Yotes still have games at the Fargo Dome against North Dakota State and a home game to round out the season against the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. And this comes after a 38-34 loss at Western Illinois on Saturday. It looked like the Yotes were headed to a win, but gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter. So if you could wave a magic wand, what would you go back and change at the start of that fourth quarter or the start of the game? We'll let you decide.
Well, I think the big thing is we had opportunities to put the game away in the third quarter. We had multiple opportunities to score points in the third quarter, only ended up with a field goal out of three possessions, and putting another score on the board there would have separated the game. You give teams an opportunity to come back, and in the quality of our league, and they're going to take advantage of it. And unfortunately, that's what happened on Saturday.
In the fourth quarter, a lot of points scored, a lot of yards were gained, almost 100 passes in the game. Were both defenses gassed in the fourth quarter?
Well, we had run 107 plays, and I think they ran in the mid-80s, so it was a lot of plays in the football game. I don't think it was a question so much of fatigue as it was, both teams really were executing offensively. Both teams were running with tempo, it has a tendency to wear you down, I think, as much mentally as physically. And we scored there with a minute and 20 to go to take the lead, and felt really good about where we were at, and give them credit, they made a couple of a good plays to get them into scoring territory, and were able to put the ball in the end zone. Our guys came back, actually had a shot at the end. He got the ball down to the 30-yard line and had a chance for a couple of plays. So proud of the way that we continue to try to rally back, but obviously too little too late.
Bob Nielsen, USD Football, here on Sports Talk with Craig and John on KWSN, KWSN.com. Western Illinois scoring their last two drives. Both drives were only 45 seconds long. What were they doing to have that kind of success?
Well, they hit us on some pass plays. They were doing some things out of tighter formation looks that didn't necessarily catch us off guard, but caught us in one-on-one situations on the perimeter, and they made a good throw, good catch, the one play was a 4th-and-5 where we had a chance to get them off the field, which would have potentially closed out the game. They ran a little pick concept over the middle and got a receiver free, and not only did he catch the ball, but he took it 50 yards for a touchdown, where we missed a tackle that probably could have kept it at about a 15-yard gain. And those are the kind of big plays that have bothered us here the last few weeks, and the kind of big plays that are huge momentum plays for the other team.
Bob Nielsen joining us. It's Craig and John here on 98.1 FM, 1230 AM and KWSN.com. USD won its first three games, or check that, lost its first three games of the season, won its next three, and has now lost three in a row as it hosts Youngstown State on Saturday afternoon in the Dome on 95.7 FM. A couple of weeks ago, a player gets ejected for throwing a punch, and a week ago, a player gets ejected for something similar. And this time you had an unsportsmanlike penalty after an extra point that had given your team a lead that you mentioned with 90 seconds to play, so that gave Western Illinois a shorter field. And then shockingly, a team captain, Darren Greenfield, took an unsportsmanlike penalty as well late in the game. What are you seeing out of your team? Because I'm just guessing, in your three decades of coaching football, this has not been this much of an issue for Bob Nielsen teams.
Well, there's a little bit of frustration. Quite frankly, I'm going to be very honest. I'm still trying to find both of those penalties.
Oh.
A situation where two guys got tangled up in the one case, and both ended up on the ground, and for some reason, you know, there was a call made. Watched it several times on film, and don't quite understand why the call was made. Sometimes the referees don't see the whole play, but certainly disappointing that, you know, those kinds of penalties certainly impact your field position there with the kickoff at the end. You know, kind of things that are definitely out of character, and, you know, we're going to make sure that we get those things addressed. Not going to try to make excuses for it, but, you know, it's the kinds of things that we've got to be better.
So is it the Greenfield penalty you didn't quite see clarity on?
Well, no, I'm talking about the one that was after the extra point.
Okay.
There seemed to be some confusion even, you know, among the group when they tried to explain the call, and, you know, and I think, you know, sometimes in those situations, in the official's defense, you know, if you don't see the whole play and you just see something, you know, it may look different than what it really does, and then we have the advantage of obviously seeing those things on film from multiple different angles.
Sure.
And it's just, you know, those kinds of calls to make at that type of situation are certainly very, you know, very critical calls. The officiating is what it is. You know, you can't make excuses for it. There's going to be calls that go your way, and there's going to be calls that don't go your way.
And now I'm just getting curious about this specific aspect of the game. I'm sure you were familiar with most of the guys on the crew. Was that crew more from the Macomb, Illinois area, or were they guys from all over the conference?
Yeah, I can't even tell you where the majority of our crews are from. Mm-hmm. You know, they're assigned and independently by the commissioner, and they come from all over.
Okay.
I know, you know, most of them are made up of guys from a whole bunch of different areas. They're not all from the same area. And you know, I think I will say this, you know, our league, I think, does a good job of trying to you know, take situations and review and all of that. You know, we're certainly, but, you know, every game is going to have some calls that you don't necessarily agree with, that's, you know, one of the things about sports and officiating.
One more note on penalties. He had 14 in the game. How do you work on that during the week? Were those more frustration, or is it more that you more to be focused during the week?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Obviously disappointed with that many penalties. It was a kind of a penalty-filled game. I think they had 11 or 12 themselves. You know, it seemed like it was a variety of things. You know, a couple of pass interference, a couple of holding calls. Obviously, when you run 107 offensive plays, you know, there's very seldom are you going to get out of a game without a holding call. You know, we've got to try to clean that up. We had penalties that took us out of we had a first and goal at the 6-yard line and ended up with back-to-back penalties that took us out of scoring position, and we just got to be better in those situations. We've got to avoid those kind of penalties, because a touchdown there, you know, obviously would have made a big difference at the end of the game.
I'm sure the mood is a little frustrating. They're lost three in a row. You got a really frustrated Youngstown team coming in because they got blasted last weekend. How do you keep the team up and keep them motivated for a big game with Youngstown?
Well, because it is a big game, you know, and that's every game in our league, you know, is a chance to beat a really good football team. Obviously, you know, Youngstown's situation is a lot like ours. You know, both struggling to find ways to win games in a very good league, and you know, they're a very good football team. Like always, Coach Pelini and his staff, they do a great job. A team that's really, really strong defensively. They love to play ball control style of football with you know, a good power running game, and so it'll be a test for us. You know, we've played decently against the run. We're going to really be challenged in that regard defensively on Saturday, and we've got to continue to find ways to be consistent offensively and take advantage of scoring opportunities.
All right, and last one for me. You mentioned the run defense, but the pass defense has been burned a bit, 42, 48, and 38 points the last three games, and I understand that sometimes is a byproduct of not so complimentary football as well. Offense can always play a part, but once again, we go back to a new defensive coordinator this year. Early struggles, three games in a row where it was lights out, struggles especially against stuff through the air the last 3 weeks. So at this point, what can you do to salvage things defensively?
Well, we got to keep got to keep getting better. We played a really sound first half of football, came back and didn't respond real well to them basically going completely to the throwing game, and gave up a couple of big plays on the perimeter that we had a chance to make a play on a football and we didn't, and they did. So much of those drives is about getting teams off the field when you have opportunities to get them off the field, whether it be third down or in a couple of cases Saturday on fourth down. And those were the situations that we didn't capitalize on because you get them off the field in those situations. Instead of a 60-yard drive, it's a three and out or a four or five and out. And, you know, that we went from doing a really good job on that in the first half to not as good in the second half.
Bob, appreciate your time, and best of luck on Saturday. It'll be good to be back home in the Dome, and say hi to my good friend Bo Pelini for me.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, will do. Yep.
Thanks.